Welcome to Biblical Health Radio. This is your host, Dr. Eric Zielinski from DrEricZ.com, and I'm on a mission to help you and your family live the abundant life. Shout it out loud, sing with the crowd, celebrate, cause good things are coming, new opportunities are at the door. Hold your head up, drop the sorrow, no regrets now, for tomorrow, it's a new chance. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 2 of Biblical Health Radio. We are going to be discussing how to overcome the death sentence when it comes to, specifically, cancer diagnosis. My special guest today is Magdalena Shalaki, and you can find her at hormonesbalance.com. And if you don't know, Magdalena is a certified holistic health coach, and she has a pretty interesting story because she was able to overcome her own autoimmune disease, and she focuses, obviously from the title of her website, she focuses on helping people balance hormones, and she has a specific niche with women. Now, I interviewed Magdalena for the Heal Cancer Now Summit. And for those of you who haven't heard of it yet, Dr. Josh Axe, Chris Wark, and I are all co-hosting this life-transforming event next August. And we're actually starting our interviews now. And if you want to pre-register and get on our newsletter to get some updates and to get some articles and podcasts and access to webinars and things like that that we will be doing in the upcoming months, you can just simply go to HealCancerNowSummit.com. And just put in your name and email, and you'll be part of the group. So with that, I interviewed Magdalena specifically about estrogen-positive cancers and estrogen dominance and how to balance that naturally through food and even essential oils. And the thing about Magdalena that I really appreciate is she's a chef, and she's someone that's done this on her own. And you're going to hear the story about how she overcame her own autoimmune disease, but also how she overcame a cancer scare. And this is critical because what we have found is when we're dealing with healing cancer, you know, when we're focusing on beating cancer God's way, it all starts at the very beginning. It literally starts when you first notice you might have a lump in your breast, or you might see a tumor growing on your hand, or you might feel differently in a weird way, and you go to the doctor, and then they tell you the news. Now, to me, the main problem with the model that we have with conventional medicine, specifically oncology, is the staging process that, in a sense, gives people a death sentence. Now, you go to the doctor, and I 100% support going to the doctor, getting a diagnosis, finding out how advanced the tumor is, but you have to be careful about receiving the next step of the process, which is typically the death sentence. When a doctor looks at your tumor and he stages it, or she looks at it and she says, you know, this is really advanced. I've seen this before, and most of my other patients live 6 to 12 months. Or they say, you know, you have stage 4, and stage 4 colon cancer, you have 6 to 12 months, or whatever it is. You see a trend here. You see basically these doctors, these physicians, are speaking that into your life. And as you, I'm sure, have heard of, the placebo effect, there is such a thing as the nocebo effect. And that's important to remember here because literally studies have shown people taking a sugar pill, being told that the sugar pill will heal them. Studies have shown the mind over matter, the mind over the body aspect kicks in, and people get well over sugar pills. Now, we know sugar pills won't do anything, and in fact, the sugar pills will probably hurt you because it's sugar. But we have found that the mind is so strong. You know, like Christ said, you can move mountains. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you look at the battle of the mind, people that can overcome things, obstacles in their mind, your actions will follow your beliefs. Now, let's flip the coin. What if you were told, well, you're going to die? You only have 6 months to live. Your cancer is advanced, or this or that. Well, the same can true, and that's called the nocebo effect, where in a sense we're finding that people are dying within that time period, not because the doctors were correct, but because of the self-proclaimed prophecy.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and that's what I want to stage this interview from, because I'm going to be taking my talk with Magdalena that will be on the Cancer Summit next year. I'm going to split it in two different parts. One part I want to give you from the intro, and next week we're going to be sharing really some of the take-home tips on what to do when it comes to food. Okay, so, and folks, if you haven't seen what I'm doing also with my website, I've been so moved by this information, and it just seems like God's really directing me in this area to help cancer patients specifically, because we've coached so many cancer patients over the years, my wife and I, with our Abundant Life coaching business. So we're launching a Beat Cancer Now online membership program, which is a pretty sweet deal. You go, you get access to this online portal. You'll have just loads of modules and lessons and videos and ebooks and all the tools that you need just to be educated on a holistic mindset of really how to beat cancer God's way when it comes to prevention and treatment. So you could go to my website, drericz.com. You could check it out. With that, no further ado, I want to introduce you to Magdalena Shalaki from hormonesbalance.com. I'm extremely excited to invite our guest speaker today, Magdalena Shalaki, who is the founder of Hormones Balance, a nutrition coaching practice dedicated to helping women to rebalance their hormones with nutrition and other alternative therapies. Magdalena is a certified nutrition coach, speaker, educator, and chef with a long history of hormonal challenges which resulted from a highly stressful life in advertising. Starting from Graves and Hashimoto's disease, which are autoimmune conditions, to adrenal fatigue and estrogen dominance, which we're going to talk a lot about today with estrogen cancers. Today, she is in full remission, thank God, right? And she lives a symptom-free life, teaches women all across the world how to live the same with through various online programs. And here's the best thing about Magdalena is the resources that she offers and the programs and all the things. I want to just give her a plug because I love what she's doing online, and you can find her at hormonesbalance.com. Magdalena, welcome.
Wow, thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about this. I mean, we're going to be chatting today about managing estrogenic cancers with nutrition, and that affects virtually everyone on the call, because whether people have been diagnosed with an estrogenic cancer, know someone, I'm guaranteeing someone does know someone, because the prevalence is so high. So tell us a little bit about your story. Even though I've heard you haven't personally have had cancer, I know you've been touched by it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we always like to tell our stories from like the time we got diagnosed with something. But I think once you gain a real understanding of health and what impacts us, I feel like I've asked for it. For so many years, I did the various things that have led into me developing an autoimmune disease and later hormonal imbalances, which one of them, that estrogen dominance I want to talk much more about today, can be a leading cause of various estrogenic cancers. When I think about it, I think the biggest thing was really from the start was not being a breastfed baby, always having a very compromised immune system. I've developed several food sensitivities very early in my life. So I was the child always with eczema and headaches and terrible migraines, horrible infections, ear infections, you know, and then later, like with a lot of food sensitivities, they became something else. Later in life, I started having acne and horrible migraines, PMSs. Breast lumps. I still remember getting my first breast lumps when I was probably in my late 20s. And I still remember how I just got this big promotion, you know, with my work. And I was finally earning, you know, the kind of money where you don't have to struggle every month. And I was diagnosed with these lumps, and they were very painful. And, you know, and the fear that just instills in you is something that I never forgot. I developed Hashimoto's disease and Graves' disease. I'm in remission for both of them right now. You know, I know we're not talking about autoimmune conditions on today's call, but I feel like it's all very much connected in a human body, because they all stem from the same thing, and that is a big, you know, toxic load on the body combined with a very poor gut health. And We're going to talk about gut health later today. You know, I want to spend some time talking about the health of the gut and the connection to estrogenic cancers, because there's a surprising and a big connection that we are discovering now. I've come through a trajectory of having breast lumps and terrible PMSs and horrendous fatigue. I literally had to give up my job because I felt like I became a very different person.
Wow.
And embarked on a huge part of it. You know, I worked in China for a big part of my life. In advertising, I lived in China, which, you know, is no secret. I mean, it is an incredibly polluted place. It's getting better now, but in 2008, when I was living there and was diagnosed, it was a really toxic place to, you know, to be in. And combined with my own lifestyle choices of smoking and, you know, going out for drinks at least 4 or 5 times a week and not sleeping enough and joking that sleep is for the dead, it was just like a perfect storm you're creating, you know, in your own body to invite a lot of imbalances. So fast forward, you know, several years later, I'm 42 years old today. And the predominant thing that I've done is in, that's really what I'm going to talk about today. You know, I feel like in many ways I've dodged the bullet because I do have family history of breast cancers, and those are not genetic or hereditary cancer. They're not from genetic mutations. They're all from lifestyle choices, probably. And, you know, from my mom's side, I have 2 aunts who passed away from cancer. One of them went really fast. Within 6 months, she passed. And the other one struggled for 3 years. And, you know, and I still remember that even as a young adult, seeing my aunt and her husband selling everything. Wow. To, and, you know, taking her to, I mean, to Peru to do all sorts of, you know, unconventional treatments. And I think all these things prolonged her life, but she, the suffering that she went through was just so incredibly traumatic. And, you know, and so of course, when you have a family history like that, when you read about it, you know that if your mom's side has it, then you're more prone to, you're genetically more, you're just more prone to developing cancer. You know, it freaks you out when you yourself go to, you examine yourself and you find lump breasts on your own body. You know, for a woman, it's the fear that goes with it, right? It's the fear of, and the confusion, and then you step into going, what kind of a diagnosis, like, how should I be examined? Is it a mammogram? Is it true that mammogram developed? You know, is it going to make it worse? Is it, what about thermograms? Are they really working? People say they don't. You know, it's that whole fear, confusion, anxiety that you go through. And then after that is, you know, that those different options that different doctors tell you that you have is terrible. And, you know, and I think with that, a big part is also a sense of shame, embarrassment, feeling guilty. Oh, you know, I shouldn't have smoked. I shouldn't have drank. You know, I should have taken care of myself better. And that's what I'm so passionate about this today. This topic is, everything we're going to be talking about is, even if you had cancer, you know, those are amazing preventative measures. If you haven't had cancer, those are wonderful preventative measures. If you have cancer, those are wonderful tools to utilize to see improvement. So, yeah, and I would just want to share with you one more thing. The reason why I got also, the second reason why I got so interested in this topic was because I had a number of people, women, who approached me because they wanted to work with me. You know, I don't do one-on-one coaching anymore, but when I used to do it, and, you know, we would meet at some kind of a women's event, and women always find it fascinating. I mean, as women, we are so wonderful. Like, we really take care of ourselves, most of us, and we are much more open to it than men. I'm sorry to say that.
You're right.
But, you know, and so I would meet these women and go, well, you know, I just have this nodule on my thyroid, or, you know, I have these lumps on my breast. And then they'll contact me and they say, you know, but actually I don't have the money to do this right now, or I'm not ready, I'm too busy, or there was some excuses. And then a couple of years later, and this happened several times, this is not just a one-off thing, several years later, I get, and this is not even like a lot, it's like you're talking about 2 years later, mm-hmm. I get these emails from them or calls, these very same women, and saying, oh my God, I should have so done something. I should have worked with you. And I'm not saying you have to work with me, but I'm just saying, you know, they say I should have done something about it, because, you know, they are diagnosed with thyroid cancer. you know, then they are diagnosed with breast cancer. The other one was with breast cancer. Several others once had had fibroids and endometriosis, and then later it became ovarian cancer. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. And I remember being so heartbroken. And you know, and then a woman like that will find money anywhere when the crisis strikes in order to help herself. But let's not be that way. You know, it's, we can, there's so many tools I want to share on today's call that we can deploy to really not be making that phone call or having that diagnosis ever.
Wow. Wow. There's so much to take away from what you just shared. One of the key takeaways that I'm getting from that is just to reinforce the message that I've been sharing with people about overcoming the death sentence, right? And meaning this, once you have that lump, you get a diagnosed, you get a death sentence virtually if it's tumorous or if it's a cancer, and someone says you have 6 months or you have 12 months or, you know, now you have to overcome that. But even before that, you know, if you feel comfortable with this, before we really dive into the topic, I think what you shared is so powerful and you can help a lot of people out there, especially women who are doing self-checks right now. You know, what would you recommend? I mean, someone's in the shower or they're doing their check wherever it is and they notice something. Mm-hmm. The size of a pea, whatever it could be, small, large, and they say, wow, that's not normal. I mean, what would you recommend first and foremost of, because we know what can happen psychologically, right? So how do you recommend maintaining balance of the emotions first and foremost, and then kind of maybe what to do go forward? I mean, what do? You call 911? I mean, you call your oncologist? I mean, seriously, it's like confusing. So how would you recommend a friend or a family member?
You know, I think the first thing is not to be in denial about it. And the minute you find out, I think, you know, knowing your enemy is have the battle won, as the saying goes. So getting a diagnosis is really, really important. And, you know, the diagnosis tools are very disputed. And so I think it's a very personal choice. And so I would not want to make specific recommendations here. I personally didn't want to go with a mammogram just because I felt like I was really pushed in a corner of getting it, and there was a lot of fear and just a very antagonistic sort of approach by the doctor and the nurse. And the more I was getting that, the more cautious I was getting, but or adverse to it I was getting. But the you know, I went with a thermogram, and that gave a lot of information out. But also finding a doctor who is integrative, an approach who can talk to us, not just about like, oh, you know, exercise more and eat healthy diet, whatever that means, right?
Exactly.
You know, but somebody who really works with other stuff that you're going to hear me talk about today, mm-hmm. You know, with nutrition, looking at how much stress is there in your life, how toxic are you? Was it, you know, with a provider like that, I think it's really, really important. But yeah, I think that getting the diagnosis is really super important, because otherwise, I mean, we've just become a prisoner of our own thoughts. And what good is that going to do, you know?
Amen. It's very well said. And a key takeaway, folks, if you haven't, you might just take a note that even though the oncologist or but your primary care or whoever it is that you go to, even though they're highly recommending it, and some might be antagonistic, very much so, putting pressure on you to, you got to get the mammogram done, you got to, well, there are other options. Right? Just like Magdalena just shared, you could just step back. And here's one thing to remember too, folks. Cancer typically takes years and years to develop. And it's usually not I find a lump and I'm going to die tomorrow kind of situation. Yeah. I mean, you know, unless it's on the brain stem or unless it's going to block an air tube or something, like, you know, so you have time to go back home, talk like Magdalena was sharing with some loved ones, get the balance of your mind, realize that you're in control of the situation. Do some research, hire a coach, find a holistic-minded physician to help you, and go forward. So that's the one key takeaway, Magdalena, that I'm getting, is that you're going to empower people today to really regain control of their health and, in a sense, to mark their own destiny with this thing. Because we are not destined to die if someone's been diagnosed with cancer. First and foremost, number one.
Amen. I just absolutely am grateful for the information that God's giving us today. And with all of these different interviews that we're featuring on Biblical Health Radio, folks, isn't this abundant life-giving? You know, when Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I came, Christ said, to give you life and so you may have it to the full. You know, what does that mean? It means not for eternity. It means not just heaven. It means today. He came that we may have life and we may have it now. And it all starts with recognizing that Satan is a liar. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy anything that brings us happiness, anything that brings us joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you know what? Like I've said time and time again, Satan can't steal our salvation, but he can make us veritably useless for the kingdom of God if we're sick and tired and depressed and just not well. And so with that, take this information, chew on it, share it with a loved one, and please, if you're enjoying this podcast, subscribe to it, leave a comment or two. Really appreciate your support because we're trying to get the message out there. The body of Christ needs this information. Folks, as always, this is Dr. Eric Zelinsky from DrEricZ.com, and my hope and prayer is that you and your family live a very cancer-free, abundant life. God bless. Bye-bye. Celebrate, 'cause good things are coming. New opportunities are at the door. Hold your head up.